Morning, we are only 3 days in front of Christmas. And most of us have heard. Thank you, Skeeter. Well, this morning we are 3 days in front of Christmas. A joke, right? It's now 2 days in front of Christmas. You ever tried to start something or tell a story and you're continually interrupted? Isn't it frustrating? You can't get ahead of steam going because you want to do something, you want to say something, and you keep getting interrupted. Have you ever had this at home? Do you know when you're watching a movie? This is when you had kids, right? And you're watching a movie, and you're kind of engaged in it, and your kid comes home, and they walk in the room, and they start talking. I mean, they haven't even done anything. They're just talking. So you're like, hold on a second, and you pause the movie. You're like, oh, okay, fine. So you know, if you're really mature, you actually stop the movie, okay? So then you turn and you give them their attention. They're like, talk, 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 talk. And you're thinking to yourself, I want to go back to my movie. They finally finish and you wait a second. Okay, they're done. And you push play. And about 4 seconds later, they start again. You're like, pause again. You ever had that happen, right? And it kind of goes on and on. You're like, oh my goodness, I just want to watch the movie, but I'm being interrupted all the time. Or how about when your day is interrupted by an unexpected twist? I think I'd been working in the U.S. for about a month, and I was off. I don't remember what city I was traveling in. My wife calls me and said, well, your son was jumping off of a table and hit his head on the window. He's bleeding all over the place. I don't understand the American medical system. What do I do? Okay, it's an interruption in your day. She went, sat in line at the emergency for 2 hours. They never saw her, stopped bleeding. She took him home, put a Band-Aid on it. That's what happened. See, interruptions happen all the time, right? It's that call about your kids at school. It's the dead battery at the end of a long day in your car. It's the unexpected meeting that goes a lot longer than you thought it was going to go. It's the concert you forgot about, or the one that you didn't forget about, but maybe you didn't plan for, or that financial hit when everything seems right and all of a sudden something breaks and you got to use the vacation money to fix the furnace. Or maybe it's bigger. You know the plans for your life that you have? To go to school, to get a career, to get a house, to have a kids, and it all goes by the wayside when a child develops cancer or a spouse dies. How do you respond when God interrupts your life? I watched the Charlie Brown Christmas special this week. Anybody Charlie Brown Christmas special fans, right? Okay, you have to be over 40, apparently, right? I watch this every year, right? We have it on the DVR, and it's great. You know, it's when Linus gets to that part. He's like, what is Christmas all about? And he does this whole recitation. And actually, it's this amazing thing, right? It all sounds so magical. He quotes the Bible. It's this marvelous plan. The time was right in God's grand plan, and the angels came, and they sang about it, and it was a beautiful thing. And because of all that, we can know God personally. It's such a wonderful story. But I can tell you that the people involved in that story were not always happy campers. Because the Christmas story is a story of interruptions in life. See, God accomplished his plan through people, people just like you and me, but he totally interrupted Joseph and Mary's life and all their plans and everything they hoped and dreamed for. It wasn't comfortable. It wasn't easy. It was unexpected. And it made me wonder, as I thought about it this week with Christmas coming, how do we then respond when God interrupts our life? What do we do? How do we respond to it? Because how we respond to the interruptions in our life is really determined by two things. How we look at them, like how we see the interruptions, and whether or not we have prepared for them. And you think, well, how can you prepare for an interruption? Well, let me talk a little bit about that. So let me pray for us before we start. God, would you speak to us in this? This whole idea of interruptions, of life kind of taking right turns on us all the time, would you speak to us through this marvelous account of how you came to this world. So speak to us, give us new insights, we pray this morning. Amen. So most of you are really familiar with the Christmas story, right? You've heard it all. You've heard it many times. The vast majority of the Christmas accounts in two books of the Bible. It's in Luke and in Matthew, right? So as you can see, no screen today. So if you want to follow along with what I'm doing, open up your Bibles, open up your apps, whatever you got, because we're going to flip it back and forth between Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapter 1 and 2. And Matthew describes it like this. It's in Matthew chapter 1. It starts at verse 18, and here's how he describes the first Christmas. He says, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. They were engaged. Actually, way more serious than engaging. It's called betrothal. They were essentially married, even though they actually hadn't come together yet. And it says, before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Luke gives us more detail on how that happened. But because Joseph's husband was a righteous man, he didn't want to expose Mary to public disgrace. He had in mind, I'll just divorce her quietly, right? I mean, we got to end this because she's obviously been unfaithful. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, and she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Now that is amazing news. He was going to be the Messiah that they'd been waiting for. But it is tough to grasp the magnitude of this interruption in life. It was huge because the course of their lives were altered and it would never, ever be the same again. All their ideas, all their dreams were squished just in one sentence. Absolutely wrecked. And they were put in the position of having to deal with some very real, very significant issues. I mean, the interruption had ramifications. So let's just level set for a second. If we were to get all theological for a second, what we would say is that for those that follow Jesus, he never actually interrupts our life, right? He's our Lord. He leads us. That means if he's leading, he's not actually interrupting. So he doesn't really interrupt our lives. So take that knowledge, throw it out. Because when you go through life, if you're like me, it feels like an interruption. It feels wrong. It feels off. It feels like it's not going in the right direction. And interruptions fall into two categories. I call them micro interruptions and macro interruptions. Micro interruptions are those things that happen during your day, right? You stop at the gas station, you know, get gas, and then you realize your wallet's at home and you got to kind of do something. You know, those are the little micro interruptions, right? You go into Wawa and you get something and you run into someone you know and all of a sudden you had a 20-minute conversation, now you're late. You know, those kind of things. Those are micro interruptions. They happen all the time. And then there's macro interruptions, and those are the biggies. Right? Those are the ones that have the potential to take your life and just pancake it in the wrong direction. Micro ones, by the way, can grow into that sometimes. But those are the two kind of things. But we respond to both of them in similar ways and for similar reasons. So I would think of it this way. If you're going to define then these interruptions, they're essentially events or people that we didn't plan for. Right? They're either things that happen or people we encounter that they weren't in the radar. They weren't on the radar. Because here's how it goes. Because they mess with our plans, right? Let's take a look at those both, right? Plans and people. In Luke chapter 1, he describes a very similar event that we just read in Matthew. It says, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Now, as you all know, right, in those cultures, marriages were planned ahead of time, right? So they were put on way beforehand, they would have these plans. It wasn't always up to the people engaged. And so Mary and Joseph, they knew each other. And whether their parents had arranged it or not, we don't know. But they obviously knew each other. They'd been given to each other. They'd had their life literally planned out for them. And so now they're engaged. They're betrothed. And they knew it was coming. And Joseph probably already knew what his life's occupation was going to be, right? Because he was probably apprenticed to his father. He kind of knew what direction that was going to go. And their families were nearby. They're thinking of their wedding. They're thinking of the kids afterwards, living the lives much as their parents had lived. It was all there. There was a picture in their heads. And then God drops this bombshell. And in that instant, can you just imagine when you heard the news, when Mary heard it the first time, and she's trying to grapple with what she just heard, and on the other side of her brain, she's thinking, but what about all that stuff? And she can see it in her mind's eye disintegrating and just going, And all the plans seemed to go for nothing. And you know, if you read through the story, their circumstances did that over and over and over again. So now, months and months later, right, Mary's finally ready to have the baby. She's adjusted to all the fallout from all of her plans being messed up. She's finally kind of got it a little bit together. You know, she's been away. She came back. Maybe the villagers are sort of accepting her. She's kind of ready. And all of a sudden, we read this. In those days, Caesar Augustus, the emperor, issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And everyone had to go to their own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem. So she's ready to pop. And she's finally got her life together. And all of a sudden, Joseph says, yeah, we got to take a trip. We got to go to Bethlehem. And she's like, I'm going to have a baby. Yeah, I know. We got to go. And so they travel. I mean, think about this is not just, okay, we're going to go here and go to a different hospital. Okay? This is, we got to travel. My mom won't be here. My dad won't be here. Our friends won't be here. Our neighbors won't be here. The midwife that's been seeing me this whole time, she's not going to be here. We are on our own. And all the plans we had were gone. It's unbelievably inconvenient. And then they have the baby, right? You all know how that went down, you know, in a barn, not the way they planned. And they finally do that. They're about to move back home. Okay, that's been a while. They kind of got settled. Okay, now we're going to finally go back home. We're going to engage with our family and our relationships. An angel appears to Joseph in a dream. He says, go up and take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt because Herod is looking to kill him. Now, you got to put this in context, people. You grew up in South Jersey. And it's really inconvenient. So something happens and you have to go over into Pennsylvania. For some reason, your family can't come. And you go over there. And you have the baby and you're on your own, you're thinking, I can finally come back to South Jersey. And the angel says, you need to go to England with your child, where you don't know anybody. And the culture is different. But if you don't, he'll be dead. Leave now. And all his plans wrecked. See, God interrupts our plans all the time, doesn't he? My first life when I was in the business, I had my business degree and I was going to climb the corporate ladder. We moved 7 times in 8 years, but it was always being promoted within the company and I had it all planned out. I kind of knew what it was going to look like. Things were going along swimmingly and then God tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, ever thought about being a pastor? I said, yes. I said, no. But God's pretty insistent. And all of a sudden, all the plans and all the things we thought were going to happen, whoosh, thrown out the window. Most of you have stories like that. It can be in your jobs where you have a plan and something happens, but it could be going along and all of a sudden there's an additional child that you didn't expect. Or that last child turns out to be 2. Or we're saving and so we're going to take this vacation, an emergency hospital visit, all of a sudden sucks it all away. See, interruptions don't just challenge our plans, because we have all these plans and they mess them up, but they change and they challenge all of our relationships as well. Because when you read this story, it says, when Matthew's talking about it, he says Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph and then found out to be with child, and so Joseph's going to divorce her. And it took an angel appearing to him to say, don't do it. So when the Bible says they were pledged to marry, it means they were betrothed. So way, way more serious than engagement today. It was actually considered a legally binding contract. And if you were found to have cheated during that time, that was adultery. Punishable by all the laws of the land. This is not something like, oh, well, they weren't really married yet. No. This was dead serious. This was the way it was. And so it means that in Joseph's eyes, it was infidelity in marriage. You know, and the angel finally comes to Joseph. He says, well, Joseph, really, she's actually telling the truth. But I wonder how many times he thought, I wonder if that's true. It seems crazy. Really? I wonder if he looked around the village at all the other guys and thought, he's ugly, so it's fine. But he's cute. You know, I wonder, what went through his mind as he's struggling with what the angel told him. But that, you got to think, it changed their wider relationships. Do you know, after she got pregnant, she left. She went to be with her cousin Elizabeth. The Bible doesn't really tell us why, but I could probably guess why. Because when everybody else in the community found out, they were like, oh my goodness, Joseph, you got to get rid of this. I mean, she cheated on you. You can't marry this girl. And he's like, no, an angel told me. They're like, yeah, an angel told you. Dude, that was a dream. Like, and all this pressure, and Mary's getting all the looks and this. She's like, I got to get out of here. And so she leaves. She goes and meets with her cousin. I mean, all those relationships were messed up. For all we know, it had problems in the family with aunts, uncles, cousins, with the parents. Fleeing to Egypt, whole new set of relationships. Because now you don't even get to come back to the people. No, you got to go to another country and try and find some people that you can connect with. See, God was leading them with regards to the places, their plans, and their relationships. Here's the thing. Interruptions put tremendous strain on our relationships. They just do. See, think of a micro interruption, right? You're going through your day. You have this interruption because someone calls you. They're in distress. You're like, okay, I got to talk to them. Maybe you swing by their house on the way home. And you do this, but now you walk in the door. And because it was so crazy the way it happened, you never called your spouse. They have dinner ready. It's actually been ready for an hour. It's now cold. You're telling me there's no stress in that? I was doing God's work. They're like, I don't care. I've been with the kids, right? It stresses it out. And this happens all the time. We get nice and cozy in our relationships. And then God calls us away to start something brand new. The person working on with us on that project at work is now new, and they're difficult to deal with, and you can't stand them. Or you decide to join a discipleship family, and you realize that they're all weirder than you are, and you're thinking, what have I done? And sometimes it's tough because a spouse will come and say, hey, God's inviting me to get involved in this thing over here. And you're thinking, yeah, but if you do that, you're going to have less time for me. Interruptions, they mess with our plans, they mess with our relationships. So what do we do with that? The next time you have an interruption, what happens? Well, I think as I was reading through this, I thought of a couple things. And one is a mindset and one is kind of a preparation thing. And one is this, and this is really, really important, is you have to understand and we have to come to grips with the idea that not all interruptions are interruptions. See, because we have this fundamental view of how we go through our lives and how we go through our days, that this is how it's going to go, and anything that deviates from my plan is an interruption. That's not necessarily true. Someone once said that God is doing 10,000 things all the time in and around your life, and you're aware of about three of them. Which means God is doing all these things. He always sees the bigger picture, but we always see interruptions exactly as that. We see them as interruptions. We have a goal. We have a plan. We have relationships. We have a picture in our minds of what's supposed to happen, and anything that doesn't fit with that picture is an interruption. We have to deal with it. We have to overcome it, and then we have to get back on plan. Happened this summer. Some of you have told this story too, but we were with my daughter and my son-in-law, and we were traveling in the mountains, and we had all these things we wanted to do. We were in the Rocky Mountains. You know, it was the first time we'd been up there together, and there was this one thing that we really wanted to do, that my son-in-law wanted to do, which is he wanted to go canoeing on this beautiful emerald kind of lake. It was supposed to be spectacular views, and it was going to be really great. We kind of planned when we were going to do it. It was great. And we got up that morning, the day we were going to go, and we drove, and all the roads were closed in. And we're like, well, what's going on? And they said, oh, it's full. Maybe it's full. Well, there's already enough tourists in there. If you want to go, you have to drive 8 miles back down the road, park in the parking lot there, get on a bus, take it into town. And there's so many people that you'll probably have to wait a while to do this thing. And we thought, this is crazy. Like, we had no idea. It would have wasted hours. And we said, well, we can't do this. This just messes everything up. Everything we planned, everything we wanted to do kind of went boom. An interruption in the day. And what was difficult was it was one of those things that you said, of all the things in the vacation we want to do, this is the thing we want to do. This is the one that we don't want to miss. And everything said, well, you're going to miss it. See, when we read through the story of Jesus' birth, we have the advantage of hindsight. We get to look back, and we get to see how it all fit together. We get to see how God did this, and God did this, and God did this, and he kind of worked it all together into this amazing plan, and all these interruptions had this greater purpose. We have the luxury of knowing who Jesus was, that he was the Savior, that he was going to die and come back to life. We know all that. They did not. Mary and Joseph knew nothing. See, it's wonderful to look back and to see all those interruptions, see what God was doing. But when we're in the midst of an interruption, we don't see it. So we have to begin to change our perspective that when there's an interruption, sometimes it's not an interruption. Sometimes it's God saying, I got a plan. Cooperate with me. There's something cool about to happen. Don't fight it. Because in the end, it's going to turn out right. See, because what ended up happening was we carried on our way on our vacation. We thought, all right. And you could tell, you know, son-in-law wasn't all that happy. He was really trying to be a good trooper, but this was something he had his heart set on. And it was like very difficult to say, you know, now we're not going to get to do this. We thought, well, maybe we'll try later in the day. And so we went and did a couple other things we had planned. You know, things are starting to look better. We're getting good attitudes. We're having fun. And then we sat down and had lunch. And I just opened up my Google Maps, you know, and I thought, huh, there's a lake over there. It says it has a lodge. It's 20 minutes out of the way. Let's go see it. It might be fun. We pull up. It's a beautiful lake nestled in the mountains. Canoeing galore. It's cheaper. It's not as busy. It's just as pretty. And we got to just walk right in, have this amazing time together, eat lunch. And what ended up happening was it was as good or better than what would have been. I think about that sometimes. I think, what happens if I had fought it and said, no, this is the plan and this is what we're going to do and I'm not letting it change and we're going to go put all this. We would have spent 6 hours trying to get somewhere that may or may not have been as good. And instead, God said, no, I let you do this and this and this and this and this. And then I made it perfect all at the end of the day for you. Which you only know at the end. You don't know that in the middle of it. So what do we do? If not all interruptions are interruptions, then maybe we should start looking at interruptions as opportunities. And ask yourself this question, might this interruption be a God thing? It might make us respond completely different. Because in the midst of this monumental shift in her life, Mary had this choice. I mean, she could have fought things, she could have got angry, she could have tried and take control back. You know, they had ways to make sure that the baby wasn't born back then. Can you imagine Mary saying, yeah, I don't want this? But her response when the angel told her what is happening is amazing. Here's what she said. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. And that statement is so profound, we can't even get a handle on it. Because Mary understood a couple things. She understood her role in relation to God. She says, I'm your servant. You're in charge. I'm not in charge. You're running the show, not me. You've got a bigger picture. I don't see it, but I trust you. So I'm going to submit myself to your plans and I'm going to cooperate with this. I'm treating it like an opportunity. See, when we begin to look at interruptions as opportunities, then all of a sudden we're open to engaging in them, right? What was an interruption that you're like, oh, I just got to get past this because I get to my plans. If I say, hold on, this may be an opportunity. Maybe not, but maybe it is. And so you engage with a little bit different. And you might actually engage in a conversation or ask a question or have a slightly different attitude and think, okay, what's going on here? And all of a sudden, everything begins to change. And that's because when there's an interruption, we almost always have to do something. You have to act. You have to change your attitude. You have to think about how you responded. I mean, when there's an interruption, we have to do something because I guarantee you, every single time any one of you are interrupted, you do something. Sometimes it's sometimes it's language that you say, I hope the pastor doesn't hear me, right? I don't know. What is it? We do something. By the way, I do the same thing and I just hope you guys don't hear it, so. But consider the responses of Mary and Joseph. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Later, when the angel of the Lord came to Joseph and said, get up and take the child of his mother and escape to Egypt and stay there until I tell you to. You know what it says he did? So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt. He did what he was told. After Herod died, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel. So he got up, he took the child, and he went back to the land of Israel. They listened in the midst of the interruptions and said, maybe this is a God thing, and maybe we should pay attention, and maybe we should respond. And you say to me, well, you know what? If God spoke to me in a dream, I would listen to him too. And y'all know that's a cop-out. Because we have the Holy Spirit living in us. We have the scriptures. And when we begin to see interruptions as potential opportunities, it will change how we respond. And even if it's just a random interruption, because sometimes those happen, even if it's just a random interruption, God will still be using it to shape us into the kind of people that he wants us to be. You know, almost all of the greatest impacts I've ever had in my life for the kingdom were a result of interruptions. They're never a result of my plans. I think God sometimes sees us as children. He says, yeah, your plans are so cute. But I got something better. And we fight and we scream. You ever see a child do that? I want to go here. I want to go here. And you're like, I got a better plan, right? They're like, I want a grilled cheese sandwich, you know. And you're like, we're going to Chick-fil-A, right? It's something better, okay? But we do the same thing all the time. God, this is my plan. These are my people. These are my relationships. You can't interrupt. You can't mess it. You can't do this. And God's like, I got something for you. Trust me. So the next time your plans are interrupted, whether it's a micro interruption or a macro interruption, the next time it threatens to impact your relationships, ask yourself two questions. Might this interruption be God giving me an opportunity? Just ask yourself, huh, what if this interruption is an opportunity? Take a pause, think about it, and then ask a follow-up question. If so, what does God want me to do in response to this opportunity? Does he want you to pray, act, listen, speak? All of them? If I tell God that no matter how uncomfortable it makes me and no matter how unexpected it is and no matter what it is, if I recognize that he knows better and that these interruptions are opportunity, it will actually change my life and it'll change your life. So practice with the micro interruptions, right? You want to know how you prepare for big ones? You practice with the small ones. Because what you do in the small interruptions of life is exactly what you will do in the big ones. So as you go through this Christmas week, I guarantee you your life will be interrupted. I don't know what it is. Maybe you wake up tomorrow morning and you're like, oh, I'm getting sick, you know, 2 days before Christmas. I don't know. Or someone who said they were going to come over isn't. Or maybe more worrisome, all of a sudden the whole family that you weren't expecting is now coming, right? All kinds. There's interruptions and they're going to happen. So practice in the middle of all those micro interruptions and say, okay, God, maybe this is an opportunity. What do you want me to do? Because when we do that over and over and over again, when the big ones come, where we practiced, we say, all right, God, this is going to wreck my life. But maybe there's an opportunity in this for you to do something bigger and better. Not all interruptions are interruptions. So let's practice seeing them as opportunities and then responding that way.